Word. Okay. Right. I bless the Lord for his word in my life and how the word speaks. Thank God for Pastor Freeman. We're just casual workers. And the day Freeman said he saw the Spirit of God in me, any other person wouldn't have seen it. It just takes the spirit of discernment. I was so angry with somebody that day and was almost losing my temper because the person misunderstood me, and I felt as if I just shown a bad side of me to Pastor Freeman, and I was just like on my own sulking, and he came to me. I was thinking he was going to say, "I understand," but he just said, "Man of God, I see the Spirit of God in you." And I'm like looking at him. He said, "I'm angry now. I just lost my temper on somebody that was mistaking me for something." And he was like, "I see the Spirit of God in you." And I started looking at him. Is this man okay? But I thank God. It's more than 10 years now, 12 years, I would say. And we have been together in Christ, praying for each other, growing in strength. And we have become pastors who are blessed in the name of the Lord. When Pastor Freeman spoke to me this evening, I have a testimony in this land. But when he came on board and said, I was like, tight. Immediately the Spirit of God said, preach what you preached on Sunday. I want somebody to be blessed. And immediately I just told him, okay, I'm coming. I will come because I heard the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So briefly, I have a testimony in this land, but as we go on, probably I'll chip it in and I'll try to be mindful of time. You know, I entered the new year. People were rejoicing and celebrating. The next day, I told my wife, I feel very heavy. I don't know. My wife is like, it's the beginning of the year. She'll be thankful. I say, I know. But I feel this burden in me. And all of a sudden, sometimes when this burden comes, I just feel sad. Like it's me, it's happening to me. After a while, the Lord started opening up people's hearts to me. And I'm like, I said, I think I know the source of this sadness. People are carrying burdens. I can feel people's burdens. And at a point, I prayed, Father God, begin to give me faces to pray for. I can feel them. I hear them groaning, but I don't know them. And I don't even know the prayer points. And gradually, me and my wife started hearing of people. And I blessed the name of the Lord that even me and my wife will write prayer points every year. And we can tick those prayer points. We tick them off and say, oh, the Lord has done this, done this. But these prayer points we wrote, I had to start including people. And it keeps on going. So the Lord gave me a message. And you know, I went into the book of Genesis 30. The Lord gave Jacob a revelation. He gave him a revelation of making a rod, and you know, with spots all over. We are familiar with that place in the Bible. We are in Genesis 30, from 37 to 43. And you know, Jacob saw in a dream the sheep that were jumping over it became his. They were separated from Laban's sheep. But when you go into that word, the Bible said that he put it in the water trough, and the cattle were always coming to drink. I love the Passion Translation because the Lord gives me this understanding. And sometimes I sit on my bed and the Lord gives me the answer to some verses that are not explicit, and I'm like, I'm hearing this in my spirit. And I go search different versions until I find it, because it's something that's dropped in my spirit and the Lord has just exposed that word to me. And why I go and set versions to really back it up, to really show people like this is what the Lord has said, not just I'm just talking and you feel like I'm just interpreting the Bible, to always use the Bible as a backup. So I was just like, what is happening here? The Lord pushed me to the Passion Translation, and I took the Passion Translation. When you read from 38 to 39, he said, as the Laban's sheep came to drink, Jacob had already planted that rod. So they gazed upon the rod. While they gazed upon that rod, they started meeting. And I'm like, God, what is this? What God gave me is that, what are you fascinated with? What is charming you? Whatever you are fixated with, you will always be in love with it, or you will have a relationship with it. So that is how my word is. My word is not something you just read and you go away and forget who you are. I am a person, and this word should be alive. And when you get fascinated with this word, you become intimate with me. You love me. There is koinonia. There is partnership. There is sharing. That is how this word becomes alive. The Lord gave me this word to minister to the souls of people, even in church on Sunday. So when I went for that, he gave me the understanding. He said, when I say, this book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, then thou have an observe to do according to what is written in it, then you shall have good success. What he's saying now is, my power in my word is the rhema. When the rhema comes forth, it is that rhema that breeds faith. So what he's saying is that your continual beholding my word, as it says in the book of 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding it until we are transformed into that image. The transformation into that image is by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why he says, when we turn away from the flesh, that's why he says, with unveiled faces, that is, without distraction. When you look at those cartoons, they weren't distracted. They were coming to drink from the water of life, and they were beholding the rod. And they went and meted and produced exactly what they looked at. And this is what the Bible says. When we continue to behold the Bible, his word, we behold it with unveiled faces, without distraction, without flesh interfering. Then we are transformed into what? The glory of his word. David defeated Goliath. How was this victory? I'm contemplating and meditating until this thing is formed, conceived in me. How did Jesus multiply loaves? This is the glory of God. The miracles, the goodwill, the glory of God, the honor of God. We are transformed into that image, and that is how we begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible says in the book of John 15:16, that I've chosen you to bear this fruit. And when this fruit remains, whatever you ask in my name, I give you. What it means is that you come to a place where you are characteristically reflecting the true nature of Christ. That when they see you, they say, I see Jesus Christ in him. That I see God in him. Because you have come to that part of producing the fruit. So the Lord gave me this understanding of how to continually behold this word. But now we know of the rhema, which is the power word of God. Someone will say, but this is the written word of God. Now this is the secret. You don't have to always say, I've not heard in the gym. No, the word of God is mighty. This is the word we speak. And God gave me this revelation. He says, do you know how my word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword? That word we spread today is the Logos, which is the written word, which is the scripture. The more you meditate in it, the more you contemplate in it, the more you read it, the more you keep in asking about it, and the more you keep talking about it, this word, as you meditate, the Holy Spirit, which is the transformer that transforms us into that glory, takes that word and drops it in your spirit. That is how faith is born. Because the Bible says, faith comes by hearing. The second hearing is in the spirit. It has entered the spirit. Just like sometimes when you sleep, you wake up. You've been hearing a song all the while. You sleep, you wake up. The song is in your heart. You are not singing it out. But you are hearing the song. You just wake up with the song in your heart. It is your spirit man, your inner man. That part that says, there's a spirit in man, but the Spirit of the Lord giveth him, that is the understanding that has come. And that is how faith is born. And when faith is born, when you read the translation, the Passion Translation, faith is bringing hope to a reality. And what is this hope? That's Jesus Christ in us that always come out into glory. Praise the Lord. So God gave me this understanding. So that is how faith is born. So, but faith is not a mental thing. Faith is a spirit. Praise the Lord. God made me understand that this is a spirit, because when we become born again, according to the book of Romans 12:2, it says there's a measure of faith that has been given unto us, and that is the measure of faith by which we come to God. So it's just like he has given us that talent. But that talent has to grow from faith to faith, as we see. And it has to grow through a medium which God gave me, which is the final thing when you bring the word and the faith, this thing all together, this is how people seek him. So what did the Lord show me? I was going through the word about faith, and you know, I saw in the book of Ephesians 1:13-14, it says, when we are born again, the Holy Spirit is given unto us as a seal. But when I read it in different translation, it says the Holy Spirit is deposited in us, and that is our guarantee. So when it's deposited in us, when you read the verse 14 of Ephesians 1:14 in the Amplified, it says he is a foretaste of what? Of our redemption. By foretaste means we are in heaven, on earth, but we continue to experience heaven by the Holy Spirit. And that's why when he says seek ye first his kingdom, it means you are not in heaven, but you are experiencing heaven. So the Holy Spirit is the one that continues to give you this foretaste. You continue to taste and see the Lord is good. You continue to come back. You still want him. You continue to come back. So this is the relationship. So you see, when the cattle looked at the rod, they were charmed and they began having intimacy. This is the relationship that we continually have by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So God gave me this understanding that faith is actually a spirit. And I'll go there, because he says, as many as have been led by the Spirit of God, he says, they are the sons of God. And he gave me the book of Galatians 3:26 in the ESV version. He says, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through what? Faith. Then this is what now made Paul say in the book of 2 Corinthians 4:13. So since we have this same spirit of faith, we therefore speak. Now, this is where the Lord was really leading me to. That this spirit of faith speak is not a mental agreement. It's not a spirit that is mute. It's not that I have faith and you just keep quiet. No, it speaks. Because how do you hear the song in your heart that you are not singing orally? Or somebody else is singing a song. And you say, that is the song singing in my heart. The person say that. No, I didn't hear you singing it. But no, I was singing it. Who is singing it? How were you hearing it? Which ear did you use to hear? To show you that faith speaks. And that is what Paul was saying. So this same spirit of faith speaks. And this was gotten from the time of David. He said, I'm surrounded by liars. That is, the situation around him were so doubtful. It was not, his environment was not encouraging. But what did he say? He said that I would rather speak the words of faith. So what is this faith? You wake up in the morning, things are not going well, you don't have a job, there's no, the bills are not being paid, the environment is frustrating, you can't even serve God the way you want to serve, or you are working, they're not paying you well. Brethren, what does the report of the Lord say?
Come on.
You are supposed to speak the words of faith into your environment. You are supposed to change your morning, take charge of your day. Is your mood going to be swayed by what social media is saying? What one demon has put in the heart of one man to spread on social media, and you are afraid of what the Lord is saying? Because the book of Isaiah says the Lord is the judge, he is the lawmaker, and he's the king. Praise the Lord. So God is understanding of the deposit of the Holy Spirit. I know it's faith, and this faith speaks. Praise the Lord. So faith speaks, and we go further, and it says, but the righteousness of faith, why he speaks that no one should say we will go up to bring. No, the righteousness of faith speaks. Having this knowledge, God now showed me how we enter his Holy of Holies, how we enter Zion. We enter Zion, Holy of Holies. His grace by faith. It is an every, how do I put it, second thing. And I like, God, how is it? Then God took me to the book of John. I started reading the book of John from 9-17. Jesus Christ was like, I prayed that they should not do it. I prayed that they should not do it. And I was like, okay, I understand. When you are in the flesh, you have to pray. That is the medium to communicate with God, to communicate with the Spirit. Even those in the outer world, that is how they go. But we are praying to God. And sometimes even in the secular world, somebody that is higher than you, they say, I pray my church, I pray my Lord. You know, you pray to somebody higher than you. But I was trying to understand, yes, Jesus Christ is praying. the Lord gave me. When you read the book of John, let's read together. Then I'll read it in the Passion Translation, where the Lord opened my eyes. So, in the book, in normal King James that I've been reading, you see, it says, John 17, 13, it says, no, when you can read from 9, it was talking about pray. So let me read from 12 before I go into this thing. Okay. Yeah, from 9, it says, I pray. So let me read 13. But now I come to you. After he has prayed, he knows he's going back to God. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy and be fulfilled in themselves. Now, having this joy and be fulfilled, when Jesus Christ died, he rose again, and he filled all in all. His image was formed. And that is why he now gave us gifts. He said, this is my body broken for you. So he gave us his body. Some people are his leg, some people are his eyes, some, you know, different parts. But we come to unity as what the church, as it says in the book of Ephesians, we all contribute. That is why you call yourself in the body of Christ, and he has given you talents, which is the faith. What are you doing with it? Are you increasing the faith? Praise the Lord. You can't be mute and say that, no, I'm just a Christian, I'm sad. No. He has given you for the work of the church, because the gift of the Spirit is for the profit of all. It's not for you to be making money for yourself. It's not for you for your... No. It's for the church of God. It's to advance his kingdom. It's to go out there and make disciples of the Lord. It's to go out there, pray for people. It's to go out there and do his work. You are contributing. And that is how he fills you. Because from his fullness, we are complete. Praise the Lord. So, he says now that this is how we are going to be complete in him. He says, but when you read this 13, he says, I speak. And this is the spirit of faith that God made you understand, that Jesus Christ is speaking here. He's speaking by faith. After he has prayed, he says, I speak, because the spirit of faith speaks. When I went to the TPT, the Passion Translation, I reread that verse 17. And he says, but now I am returning to you. So, Father, I pray that they will experience and enter into my joyous delight in you, so that it is fulfilled in them and overflows. The work Jesus Christ did on the cross, it can only be fulfilled in us when we pray, because Jesus Christ is actually showing us how to enter into that grace that he has died for and given his body for, and he has fulfilled. God gave me this understanding. With this understanding of fulfillment that God has given me, he says, now this is how Jesus Christ became a forerunner, and now he's a priest seated and doing what? Welcoming us through his body. Praise the Lord. With this understanding, God made me understand that, so it's actually in prayer. So when you meditate, it's a kind of prayer. When you worship me, because you can't enter his throne, his presence, without prayer. It is through prayer you enter that grace. It's through prayer you come to Mount Zion. Because God made me understand. My eyes just opened up in the Bible. I started saying, he says, Ephesians 6:18, pray always with all prayer in the Spirit. He said, because this faith has given you, how does the faith increase? Jude 20 says, building up your most holy faith by what? Prayers. First Thessalonians, it says, this is the will of God. Prayer. Luke 18:1, it says, you always ought to pray and not faint. In Philippians 4:6, it says, do not be anxious. It says, but by every, it didn't say by some, it said, but by every. Now, the prayer the Lord is giving me is not like coerced prayers. Somebody told me that he was so troubled, but this guy prays more than me. I told him, why don't you sit down and talk to God? It's a prayer. He said, really? I said, yes. He's a person. He said, he sat down, spoke to God one-on-one, and God, how shall these things be? He said, he fell asleep. He woke up with the solution in the morning, and he was joyous. I said, but there are sometimes the Holy Spirit will isolate you, and you know that if you don't pray, sometimes fast or watch, even to the second or third hour, this thing will not happen. But there are sometimes it's so easy. So, what am I saying? Prayer is every minute of your day. Either you are meditating, is a prayer. Sometimes you are saying, ah, God, how shall it be? Because I'll come to my testimony in about 2 or 3 minutes to just round up, to say some certain things. Because it got to a point, I was confessing to Freeman, Pastor Freeman, I don't know whether I can remember. I said, when the Bible says, my God, why have thou forsaken me? That I can understand this word, because I don't feel forsaken. But I thank God that I was blind that time, and I obeyed Him just to do His will. So, what am I saying? When you look at this prayer, God opened up my mind. Meditation is a prayer, because when you go to the book of Psalm 15, it says, let the my meditation be accepted unto you. And he backed it up with a word, my cry and prayers. When you look at thanksgiving, like I said, you don't come into His presence without thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. With it, what? In thanksgiving. Prayer is also seeking. And this is where I think I'll come to an end. It's also seeking, because when you see the book of 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So when it says this, seek my face, then you understand. It says, seeking first the kingdom of God. So this kingdom of God is the body of Christ, which is grace. Because just like I said, they were asking, well, how we know this? He said, I'm with you, and you don't know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God is within you, and this is Jesus Christ, who is fulfilled in us. So, the kingdom of God now, we have to seek it. How do we seek it? It's by prayer. Because when you look at the book of Matthew 6:33, it says, seek it first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and every other thing will be added unto you. I looked at it in the Passion Translation. It says, so above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom. Above all, pray for the kingdom realm of God and the righteousness that proceeds from it. Then all these things will be added unto you abundantly. God gave me this revelation that prayer is a lifestyle. It's not a one-off thing. Prayer backed by the word is a lifestyle. You are in the toilet, you are going to anywhere you are. You don't necessarily have to just go and say, no. Speak the words there. They are words of faith. There are sometimes you isolate yourself. There are sometimes that is scheduled. But sometimes it's spontaneous. You have to speak. If you say no, you have to. When an accident is looming before you, when you start shouting, Jesus, it's something you continue, and it's a relationship. It's intimacy. It's koinonia. It's sharing. When Jesus Christ said, my house shall become a house of prayer. Where is His house? We are His tabernacle. That is why He says, you shall become my house of prayer. And you know, the Lord made me understand this, because when I look at the book of Isaiah 56, it says, and all this I will bring to my holy mountain, which is Zion, which is grace, which is the body of Christ, which is the fullness thereof, and make them joyful. This is the joy He's talking about. Fulfilled, restored in Him. Taking back what the devil has taken from us in that realm. You know, physically, people still think that is how they take back what the devil. No. It's in that spiritual realm. And that is how we enter. The devil came to Jesus and said, all this has been handed over to me. Who handed it over? Adam, the first Adam. Now the second Adam has taken it back to restoration. But people still think it's a physical. No. It's a spiritual matter. So it says, joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings means that their restoration to me will be accepted. So He has accepted us back where we were lost. And I will accept their restoration and their burnt offering on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer. And when I look deep in the book of Luke 19:14, where He kept on saying, my house shall become a house of prayer, in the Passion Translation, He says, my Father's house is to be filled with prayer. Let's see it in the book of Mark 7:11-17. Since my house will be a house of prayer for all the world to share. That word share cuts me. By sharing, it refers to koinonia. It refers to partnership with me. It refers to intimacy. It refers to communion. That the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the body of Jesus Christ, the love of God, that is the characteristic of God that He has given us, and that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is only by the fellowship, koinonia of the Spirit of God. This is what we continually confess. Brethren, the Lord gave me this to minister to people. As you continue to behold my face, in my word, with unveiled faces, pure mind, without filthiness, repenting from unholiness, but looking straight at me, by my word, and confessing it even against all odds. The Holy Spirit, that sword which is sharper than any two-edged sword, it takes the logos of that word, this written word, and it transforms it, it puts it in the heart of man, and the word becomes fire, because the word is spirit and is life. The words He speaks are life. And this scripture that we carry, giving for reproof, correction, is supposed to be transformed into that rhema. Praise the Lord. At some point in this country, you know, Home Office told me to go leave the country. I was doing my PhD. You know, I wanted to stay. I finished my master's doing my PhD. It was so hard to stay. I was doing my PhD and, you know, I didn't have money. As such, I was working with Pastor Freeman. We were working together. And, you know, it was so hard. Sometimes I will work nights with Pastor Freeman. And, you know, or sometimes I will go to school. I'll wake up as early as 4 a.m., catch the train to another city. I was living in Northampton. I'll go down to Kent, almost 3 hours commute, finish with my professor, come down and work that night. You know, I was so fagged out that I would take the next day off, sleep like no man's business. You know, I knew this was not life. I kept on praying. Opportunity I had were just, it was not just working. Some people say people from the village are pushing you, all these kind of things. I tried everything until I took time off school. I took time off school just to come back. I mean, just to go and work. Home Office replied that the school have written them that I should leave the country. I was like so sad. I met my friend, Pastor Freeman. We prayed, did everything. Nothing was happening. There was a scheme that came in and people were doing it. They were getting it. They said, if you claim you are gay, they will give you paper. And they were giving people.
I told Pastor Freeman.
Gay, yeah, lesbian, this and that movement. And, you know, I told Pastor Freeman, one day I will stand for God. How can I defend this thing if I'm giving this paper in this way? I said, no, if I'm going back to my home country, even if I'm going to die or suffer, let me go. I'd rather carry a good name. I went back. It was tough. How I came back, I don't know. But while I was in this country, I spoke words to Pastor Freeman. I gave him my back. I said I would come back. I didn't know I was going to come back. I was speaking words with spirit. I didn't know. I was speaking it in this land. I said I would come back. I gave him my back. I said I would come back. I don't know. I said I would give death to this in my... I will never give birth to it. It's in this country. I was speaking. I said, my wife, I will marry her. Praise the Lord. By God's grace, I am here. It's a long story, but I cut it short in the testimony. Amen. My prayer now is, I just want us to pray.
In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus,
amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus,
amen.
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 Amen. Thank you,
Apostle General. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor. Yeah. You know, after we do, we come from Niger, our accent, you know, but all what the Apostle say that we need to be a man of faith and prayer. I hope at the appointed time, when Pastor Yeki come again, it'll be a testimony. 1 minute, this guy told me that, Dr. Man, I have so many opportunities. You know, the East Europeans, some of our colleagues, the same peers that in the study that time, they're going for the East European, they knew that this is for documents purpose. And this guy told me that, I cannot deny my God. I will stand for Christ. They give me 5 years, PhD. To the three man, I'm going back. They give me 2 weeks. Before he left here, all his tithe, he gave his tithe to me. And I told him, because you don't have your tithe from God, God will open a way for you. And
amen.
This guy confessed, no matter how, I will come back. I will take my bag to Nigeria. Keep my bag. I kept his bag for almost 7 years.
Wow.
And he said, I will come back with my wife and I'll born here. All has come to pass. Now his wife is also a minister. And he came back and he has ordained and was being expelled in Bradford is by a pastor. Even her mother-in-law is in here. You get what I mean? Even if some guy doesn't give a scholarship, give him a scholarship in London, remember, we make it. The guy want to sponsor, he want to manage him with his documents. But this guy could say, ah, Pastor Freeman, the guy is very good. I can see my spirit that you'll be a wife, you'll be a good wife for me. I said, wow. Don't want this scholarship. No. I will suffer. I will wait for God's time. Apostle, one day, you open your wife for so many testimony. The guy really? Said, when I look at him, he challenged me. God bless you. Apostle, I hand over to you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am short of words. When the man of God was speaking, I was just looking through the Bible like from Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah. Even though I was...